mentioned in the past that Rabbi Yitzchak Olavarka, who was the forerunner of the Chassidus of Amshinov and Talmud of the Kotzker Rebbe, was known to have a custom that during Kiddush he would look into his coast, he would peer into his coast, and he would think for a while. It's actually halacha that you're supposed to look into the coast. But he explained, according to Chassidus, it's above and beyond the simple halacha. It's a time for reflection. So Chassidim knew when the Rebbe was making Kiddush, it would take a while before it would start. You could see it today when you go to Amshinov here in Beit Vegan, you would see that before the Rebbe does any mitzvah, there's a tremendous amount of achanah beforehand. The legend that we say is that on the first night of Sukkot, the Rebbe was making Kiddush, and he was looking into the coast. Normally he would look 5-10 minutes, and he kept on peering into the coast a half hour, an hour and a half, the Chassidim began to leave. The legend they say is they came back the next morning and the Rebbe was still looking into the coast. And the Chassidim asked him, what happened? Why specifically on the first night of Sukkot? The Rebbe said that the awesome days of Yom Noraim passed. He went through awesome days. By the way, for those of you who just come back from Poland, it's a Kal V'chomer ben Benosho Kal V'chomer. The Yom Noraim just passed. And there's so many profound things that happened. And that requires a tremendous amount of reflection. A tremendous amount of reflection. Going into Cheshvan, beginning the winter's man, in order to truly appreciate what the Avodah of Cheshvan, what the winter's man is all about, I want to take a few minutes to internalize one particular way one could look at the progression of Yom HaKippurim to Sukkot through Shmini Atzeres Simchas Torah that propels us into the unique phenomenon of Cheshvan. And if the Rebbe said it on the night of Sukkot, it certainly applies on Beis and Gimel Cheshvan. Torah Kedosha describes Yom HaKippurim, as we've emphasized in the past, Lefnei Hashem Titaru, that we stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu pure. Very interestingly, we have this expression Lefnei Hashem also in regards to Sukkot. Usmachtem Lefnei Hashem Elokechem, to rejoice Lefnei, again in front of Hashem. It's clear according to the Medrash that the culmination, the peak of Avodas Hashem is not Yom HaKippurim. The secular world, Jews who come for the high holy days, they think that the peak, and in some ways they seem to be right, of the Jewish calendar is Yom Kippur. But that's actually wrong. The Medrash describes that the peak is Shmini Atzeres. Why? Because there's actually a progression which starts from Rosh Hashanah, or maybe even Elul, we'll focus on from Yom HaKippurim, where on Yom HaKippurim you see the world from the perspective of an angel. I always mention that I feel responsible to say my Bubba Chana, who was killed by the Nazis, Al Kiddush Hashem, she stood on all of Yom HaKippurim. She stood. She was literally an angel, didn't even sit. All of us, we begin to see the world, we're supposed to see the world from a different perspective. But then we go a step further. We're not removed from ourselves. The avoda of sukkah is we go into the sukkah, b'toch tzeilu d'meim nusa, that means in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ambience. And what's the mitzvah? To eat and sleep. To eat and sleep, toch tzeilu d'meim nusa. That the Maharal writes is simcha. Simcha is where everything is complete, everything is consistent. Where a person, even he's no longer acting as if he's an angel, he eats and sleeps. Toch tzeilu d'meim nusa. The Maharal writes in another place that the number 4 represents the disparate parts of the world. We take 4 species and we shake them in 4 different directions. Being ma'ached, bringing that all together, all different parts of the human existence to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I heard from Rav Amos Luban Shlita that that's the meaning behind Echad. Echad is Ach Dalet, the brotherhood of 4. 4 that for the Maharal represents the disparate parts of the world, where Ma'achid, all of it, Klape HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then we go a step further. Sukkot, which is the Ichud of everything, the consistency of everything, Toch Hanane Hakavod, being Ma'achid Arba Ruchos, with all the nations of the world, consistent and unified in serving God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I just want a day alone with you and I, with no mitzvahs. Ani negalgel, ani v'ata. In Kabbalah, that's referred to the Cheder HaYichud. HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael alone. Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapiro Zatzal said, there's one more step. And that is Simchas Torah. Based on the Gra, in the Pasuk of Parshas Balak, the Torah Kedosha tells us, Hashem Elokav Imoy Usuas Melech Boy. Hashem Elokav Imoy, the Gra says, is when we're alone with a Kudsha Brichu. In this case, Shmini Atzeres, the Chedra Yichud. Usruas Melech Boy, the Gra means many proofs that Sruas Melech could refer, the Trua refers to the Torah. That's how the Gra writes on the Deres Eliyahu. Usruas Melech Boy is the loftiness of Torah inside of you. And Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapiro Zatzal argued, the reason why we dance on Simchas Torah unlike any other holiday is because it goes beyond simply Shmini Atzeres. It's not us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu alone in the Cheder HaYichud, but it's you alone with the godliness of Kudsha Brich Hu inside of you. V'chaye oylam nota b'seichenu, the Gra in Parshas Balak describes. The godliness inside of you, the propensity and the potential that you have for Kedusha. Rav Hirsch argues that the month that we're beginning, the beginning of winter is month, is when you take all that stuff, you could throw in all the experiences of going from Poland and coming back to Eretz Yisrael. All of those experiences, cheshvan comes from the word chashu, silence. Why is cheshvan following on the heels of that? Because the most important part is not Yom HaKippurim. The most important part and the ultimate is not even the cheder yichud with kudsha brichu. It's when a Jew is alone, where it's quiet, where there are no mitzvahs, and he stands alone, but he feels the godliness that's inside of him. V'chai olam nata b'sachinu. Rabosai, that is the challenge of this generation. I want to share with you something I saw from Nancy Clark from West Virginia. She said, she wrote this in to Reader's Digest. I've given up, I know I'm a nerd, okay. I've given up social media for the new year. Some of the nerdy stuff is really deep though. And I'm trying to make friends outside Facebook. Detach herself a little bit. So while I walk down the street, I tell passerbys what I've eaten, how I feel, what I did the night before, and gardening. I also listen to their conversations and tell them I love them. And it works. I already have 3 people following me, 2 policemen and a psychiatrist. Rabosai, through all of the technological challenges that we have, we could talk about, and we have to talk about, as a mitzvah to talk about, the filth on the internet, and how we go about Shmiras Einayim and Kedusha. But sometimes when we deal with all those issues, there's a more subtle issue that is the mafteach in our relationship with Kudsha Brich Hu that we sometimes forget about. I want to challenge you with a very, very stark study done by Timothy Wilson in the Journal of Science in the year 2014. An amazing study. Some of you might be familiar with this. It's mind-boggling. And this is the challenge of Cheshvan. Study was that there were college students from Harvard and again Virginia, something about Virginia, they were taken into a room and they were shown that the room had a bed, a chair, and a strange contraption sitting in the corner, and that contraption was actually a machine that does nothing else except give electric shocks, mild electric shocks. And people were told to come into the room. They're allowed to wear anything they want, but they're not allowed to have anything on them. including their phones, of course. They have to be alone in the room. They were shown the chair, the bed, and the machine with the electric shock, and they were shown that the machine gives shocks. What's absolutely mind-boggling is that they sat there for 15 minutes, and a high, overwhelming majority of men were worse than women, because we're much worse than women on many things, a high, overwhelming majority of men gave themselves, on an average, 4 electric shocks. The average guy went over to the machine, couldn't be alone with himself, and he'd rather give himself electric shocks than be alone with V'chaya Olam Nabisachim. And Wilson then has a Chakira. Lamdusha Chakira. He says, it could be it's not the fault of these things, of the phones. Could be it's not the fault of the phones. He says, one possibility is people don't know how to be alone by themselves because of these technological advances. They're always being stimulated, and I would add, many times in an unhealthy way. And therefore, they run in the year 2014, they run to some type of negative stimulation, A, possibility one. Or possibility two is man was made not to want to be alone. Almost quoting a pasuk, Lo tov ve'yos adam levado. He's made that way, and therefore he searches for things, and in our generation, if he could create smartphones, he'll create smartphones. Rabosa, I think, is bad lamdus. It's neither of the two possibilities. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us with a challenge. And that challenge is, that's what Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapiro was screaming about in Simchas Torah. And that challenge is, what are you going to fill yourself up with? You're right. We are an empty vessel. And we have a responsibility to fill ourselves up, not to only be alone with Kud Shabrichu Necheder Yichud, but what's inside of you? V'chai Olam Nota B'Sarcheinu. So let's talk practically. How do we do it? And there are some basic steps, very, very basic steps. And that is, number one, we have to realize that now is the most critical part of our lives to fill ourselves up with something that's lofty and special. If you don't do it now, then the odds are you will never do it. This is it, Rabosai. This is the time. This is the time of whether you're going to be able to look back to see that you've planted the seeds of V'chaya Olam Nacha B'Sarcheinu. That's number one. Number two, we have to think about how you go about doing it. I mentioned in the past a study that was done in Harvard about those who were successful. And there were 3 levels of success. Some people in Harvard were relatively successful, quite successful even, you could describe, and those were the students that had clear goals. And then there were students who were wildly successful. And it was overwhelmingly those who wrote down their goals. And I find that my students are very resistant to it. You could talk about a lot of things. How many of you just take it and actually put it pen to paper? We talk about a lot of things. And then, for me, it was a davar pashut. Rav Zinkin remembers Rav Braunschweigel, Me'avar Rafua Shalema. One of the greatest lessons, when I was younger than you, Rav Braunschweigel said, before Yom Narum, it was 5-7 minutes. He said, take a piece of paper and write on a piece of paper, Bein Adol Makom, Bein Adol Chavero, and what are the things that you want to work on? What are the things that you write down that you want to grow in? V'chaya Olam Nata B'Sarcheinu. Israeli kids are better. American kids are terrible at this. Talk about good guys. Maybe it's because they want to succeed in the Harvard definition of success. They write down how much money they want to earn. But what about aruchnis? What are your she'ifos? In your she'ifos, you have to write down how you're going to go about to create the phenomenon that it's v'chai olam nata b'sarcheinu. And then we have to learn how to do 2 things. Number one is how to be alone with Kud Shabrichu, to hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu speak to us through His Torah, and to learn to speak to Him through Tefillah. to be comfortable in our own skin with HaKadosh Baruch Hu inside of us. And finally, to be able to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to fellow man, one-on-one, face-to-face, without any other technological distractions, any Facebook jokes or anything like that. I had a Talmud, a great guy. We're talking about now 4 or 5 years ago. Could imagine what struggles some of you might go through. He told me, he came to me a year after marriage, said, Rebbe, I have a tough time. Because now, my wife and I, we were so used to, when we were dating, texting with each other all the time. He said, it's very easy when we text each other when we're both at work. He said, but when we decide to go out, it's more comfortable, I find more comfortable to text her than to speak to her. That's what Nancy Clark was making fun of. I guarantee, if you make steps in this V'chaya Olam Nata B'Sochenu, then you'll feel that you'll make tremendous progress in the other things as well. That's Cheshvan. And that's the Avodah for winter's night. That's the test of whether Lefnei Hashem Titaru, which you all felt from what I heard Yom HaKippurim here, was beautiful. But the question is whether you'll be able to take that Lefnei Hashem Titaru and to make it silently yours. Kadosh Baruch Hu should be mezakeh us, we should be zocheh to a true cheshvan, to be able to become kelim, utensils, to have b'chaya olam natam b'sachim.